Okay, good morning, everyone. Shavuos, Dav Zayin, finishing up the first week of Shavuos. The Gemara now this morning is going to start the actual Yedias HaTumah. Right, we're in a tangent within a tangent, meaning the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shavuos talks about Shavuos, says that there are four different types of Shavuos, but then it puts that on the back burner. And we're going to get to the topic of Shavuos later on. About another 2 weeks from now, we're going to get to the topic of Shavuos. The first two Parakim of Shavuos is not dedicated to the topic of the discussion of Shavuos. The first two Parakim of Shavuos has to do with the Yedias HaTumah. Why did that make it over here? As I mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta, it's not a Nezikin topic. It is a Kachim topic. And for the next 2 weeks, we're really going to be in the world of Kachim, not in the world of Nezikin. So how come it's over here? So the answer is because the Mishnah use the same terminology for Yedias HaTumah. Yedias HaTumah, the Mishnah says, Shtayim Shein Arba, two, which is four. It used also the same terminology regarding Saras and regarding Shabbos as well. Shabbos, well, there's an entire Masechta dedicated to Shabbos. So we don't need our Masechta, so to say, it's like a springboard for Shabbos because we have an entire Masechta dedicated to that topic. Negayim, same story. There's an entire Masechta dedicated to the study of Negayim. In fact, the first Mishnah in Negayim opens up with the same opening of Shtayim Shein Arba, two, which is four. So we don't need Shabbos and we don't need Negayim, but we do need Yedias HaTumah because there's nowhere else in Shas that it's a small topic, it's not a large topic. There's nowhere else in Shas where they dedicate an entire Masechta to the topic of Yedias HaTumah, walking to the base of Mikdash while being Tameh. Here it is. So the Mishnayos, even the Mishnayos use the opportunity to say, you know what? Okay, it doesn't belong over here, but the first two Parakim of Shavuos, we're going to deal with Yedias HaTumah, the topic of Yedias HaTumah. We have for the past week have been enjoying topics of Shabbos and Negayim, right? And we discussed also authorship of the Mishnah, but now we're actually going to get into the topic of Yedias HaTumah. Okay, I hope everyone enjoyed yesterday's Saras discussion. I learned a lot, but it was a lot of information yesterday. The Gemara continues today at Sheish by Yediyah B'Tchila Tanu Rabbanu. We learned in a Braisa. We are in Dav Vav Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the page. We're at the two dots. Tanu Rabbanu. We start off with a Braisa. Minayin Shein Akasim Adabe Ela B'Tumas Kodesh V'Kadashav. Okay. Just give me 1 second. I'm going to get a Chumash. The question that will occupy our morning this morning is going to be the following question. In the end of Parshas Vayikra, there is a special carbon. It's called carbon ola v'yored. It's called carbon ola v'yored because it's basically a chatas offering, but depending on the person's financial status, if he's wealthy, so the Torah obligates him to bring an animal. If he's middle class, it's not the right terminology, but I'm just using, you know, our terminology. If he's not middle class. If he's poor, so then he brings two birds. And if he's really poor, so then he brings solas. He brings flour. Okay, and that's why it's called carbon olaviyori because it goes up and down depending on the person's financial ability. The Torah describes that there are three surim in the Torah where you're going to bring the special carbon ola v'yored. It's Perek Hay, and it starts from the beginning. V'nefesh ki secheta. I'm just going to quickly take us through the three surim in the beginning of Perek Hay of Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra. V'nefesh ki secheta v'sham akol alavahu eid o ra'a u yada im lo yagid v'nasa avano. Number one, suppressing of testimony. You saw something, you know something, you have testimony, and you say, nah, it's not worth it. And understandably, by the way, it's not a crazy thing to say. You know, if you go into Beis Din, once you go into Beis Din, you're going to get interrogated. That already is comfortable. You subject yourself to the possibility of Hazama. So it's understandable. You don't want to go, right? I just got a nice note from Palm Beach County. They want me to be a juror. Yeah. I have no interest. But no, that's on tape. Okay, great. But it's my duty, it's my civic duty, so I'll do it. Okay, good. Now I covered myself. So the I think we all feel that way. I can't imagine anyone's excited. So then the next thing, oh, nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tameh, o benivlas chaya tameya, o benivlas behema tameya, o benivlas sheretz tameh, v'nela mimenu v'hu tameh v'ashem. Number two is very unclear in terms of what the actual iser is. The pasuk reads this. Now it's just the second pasuk in that parsha. A person touches anything tameh, either the carcass of an animal, the carcass of a sheretz, and he's tameh, and he becomes unaware, and he's tameh, and he's guilty, and that's it. And there's no reference in the pasuk to what you did wrong. Now you could tell me that touching the tumah is an iser, but it's not. There's no iser in becoming tameh. Right? That in of itself certainly is not an iser in the Torah. So the Torah here is referring to becoming tameh, but it's interesting because the Torah does not say what you actually did while in that state of tumah. Okay. Now we around this in this room know that the iser is either going into the Beis HaMikdash or eating karban while you're in a state of tumah, but the Torah does not say that. Just simply says you become tameh, and then. I'm sorry. Pasuk Gimel is a continuation. Or you came into contact with a human corpse, okay, and you became unaware and you're guilty. Okay, it's just a continuation. And again, it's the same question. The Torah does not say why you're bringing carbon oil of Yored, and it can't be just simply for the touching of the corpse. Sometimes there's a mitzvah to touch a corpse, right? Tumas and right makes mitzvah. Or if it's one of your relatives, it's also a mitzvah to take care of it. It's chesed, it's an act of chesed. So it can't be just simply for the contact of the mace. And finally, just to wrap it up, O nefesh ki su shava levateh b'tzfasayim lahara o lahetiv, alachol asher yivateh ha'adam b'shvua v'ne'ala mimenu v'hu yadav ha'ashem la'achas me'ela. Or if he makes a shvua's bitui, right, he makes an utterance that is false. Not just an utterance, but he makes a shvua, and it's a false shvua. Torah talks about two future shvuas. We had a discussion already. Is it also two in the past as well? Etc. The question for today, the question that will occupy our morning, is going to be number two. Number one is obvious. He suppressed testimony. That's an issur in the Torah. Number three is making a false shvua. That's also an issur in the Torah. Right, that's also prohibited. Number two is what? Becoming tameh, that can't be. It can't be just becoming tameh. That's not enough to warrant a carbon olav yored. All right. So that's the problem, and now solutions. There was no need for you to touch it. Bemazed. The Torah never tells us that's prohibited. Never. Okay. So. All right, Tana Rabbanan. So here we go. Okay, so this is it. And it will be the remainder of this Amud, the entirety of the next Amud, and the very top of Zayin Amud Beis. So this very question is just really just going to be almost in the entirety of today's daf. How do I know that the Torah is talking about Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav? A violation of Tumah, meaning that while you're tummy, you walk into the base of Mikdash, or you eat Kodesh, vidinhu. Holy hizav anash al tumas v'chayiv karban al tumah. Makashi hizav anash al tumah lo hizav anash ela al tumas Mikdash v'kadashav. Avkashi chayiv karban al tumah lo chayiv ela al tumas Mikdash v'kadashav. So the Gemara makes a following argument. It's a pretty good argument. Look, we know that the Torah in various places tells us that I'm not allowed to become tameh and eat karban, right? Period. And Rashi over here cites, right? Look at the first long line of Rashi. Holy hizav anash al azadon tumah v'chayav enami karban al shigas tumah ma'amatzina kishi hizav anash karz azadon tumah v'tumas mikdash v'kadashav hizav anash shenemar pasuk in Parshas Emor lo yitamu es mikdashi. Right, the Torah says you're not allowed to contaminate. It's not the great, not the best word I know, but that's one we'll use. You're not allowed to contaminate my mikdash. Hareza azaras mikdash bekadoshim. I'm sorry, hareza azaras mikdash, comma, and the bekachim lo yochad ada sheyitar. And another pasuk also in Parshas Amor that says very clearly, do not eat kodesh until you become tahor. Harei Hazaros Kodesh as Mikdash Hashem Tamei V'Nichras. And the Torah says not only that, but if you do, you get Kares. So the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to become Tamei and walk into the base of Mikdash. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to become Tamei and eat Kodesh. The Torah also tells us that if you do those activities, B'Mezid, you're Chayiv Kares. So now, okay? So now the Gemara's argument goes like this. I got this very vague parsha in the end of Parshas Vayikra that talks about becoming tamei vinela mimenu, and you were unaware, and you have to bring a karban. So what else could it be talking about? It must be talking about those activities where the Torah already told us elsewhere that if I do it bemezid, I'm going to be chayv kares. Okay, that's the argument. Okay, it's a fair argument, but ema. Truma. Shehizir va'arnash. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, it's a very good argument, but why limit it? Maybe also truma as well, right? Meaning that if I eat truma while in the state of tumah, so if I do it on purpose...
Is it Kohen or is it Yisrael?
No, Yisrael. We're talking about it. By Yisrael eating it, it's interesting. You're right. You're good. You're right. Because by Yisrael, there's another prohibition as well. Okay. Could be Kohen. Okay. You're right. If not, probably. Okay. The ema truma, shehizir va'anash. Now, the Torah says that by truma, you're not allowed to eat truma while in a state of tumah. One of the basics of truma is that truma has to be eaten by kohanim. Truma has to be eaten in a state of tahara. Has to be eaten in a state of purity. It's kodesh. It is sanctified. It's not kodesh in the sense that it's not karban. But still, it has kedusha, it has an element of sanctity. And you have to eat it while in the state of tahara. And not only that, we also know that if you eat truma while in a state of tumah, you're chayiv misa bidei shamayim. Right? Assuming you did it on purpose. So you're chayiv misa bidei shamayim. So you see that it's a punishable act, and it's a punishable act for eating it while being tameh. So now, the Gemara says, based on your argument, so let's also put that in to the Olaviyal raid, meaning that if a Kohen eats Truma while unaware that he's Tameh, so he has to bring a carbon Olaviyal raid. Okay? And so why don't we say that as well? And the Gemara is not suggesting that that's correct. The Gemara is just simply saying that based on your argument, Truma should also be included as well. Lo Ashkechan Avon Misa Dechayev Ala Karbon. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we do not find anywhere in halacha that if something's only misa bidei shamayim, if I do it unintentionally, I'm chayav a karban. It's just unprecedented, right? It's interesting, right? Think it through, right? I mean, really rack your brains, but think it through. The only time you only chayav a karban if you do it b'shogeg, right? That we know. But even that, in other words, the avera that you're violating has to be of a high level, has to be a kares level avera. Anything less than a kares level of error, even though it's misa bidei shamayim, misa bidei shamayim is not that far off from kares, right? It's essentially the same thing. We've talked in the past about how misa bidei shamayim is a level lower than kares, right? Tosos in the beginning of Yevamos, which I cite often, tries to go through some differences between kares and misa bidei shamayim, but they're basically, it's the same basic concept, but still, it's not a high level enough avera. It's not a punishment high enough where if I did a b'shogeg, I'm going to bring a carbon. It's unprecedented. Okay? So truma, eating truma, b'mezid is only misa b'dei shamayim. So it just can't be, because it's so unprecedented, that I'm going to bring a carbon for the consumption of truma if I do it in a state of shogeg. Ema, the Gemara says, okay, I grant you it's unprecedented, but hani mili carbon kavua. But maybe what's unprecedented is to bring a regular carbon chatas. Correct. In other words, in order to bring a chatas, it has to be the avera in which, if you did it on purpose, you would get kares. True. Aval olav yored nasi. But as far as the carbon olav yored, which is the carbon at the end of Parshas Vayikra, there's no precedent for that. Right? There's only three averas in the Torah that you're going to bring the carbon olav yored, and the Gemara now is going to make an outstanding point. And think about it. What about those other two averas that we talked about this morning? Right? Suppressing of testimony and making a shvua. Are those yisuri kares? No. Not at all. So if I'm going to bring a carbon ola v'yored for those averas, so you see that the ola v'yored is not a chatas. It's not the same level as a chatas. It's obviously a carbon that addresses lower level isurim. So now the Gemara makes a very good point. So once we see that, it's not so crazy to entertain the idea that this ola v'yored that I bring for tuma, maybe also for the kohen who eats truma while being in a state of unawareness. Midahave top of davzayin amaral. Midahave shmias kol ve'abitus v'asayim. It's really no different than shmias kol. Shmias kol is suppressing of testimony. Bitus v'asayim is making a shvua, and nevertheless, you bring a carbon ola v'yored for those. So maybe bring a carbon ola v'yored for eating truma.
There's no carbon by those.
There's no carbon by those. Exactly. Amakra ba balamuti truma. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe the word ba is a miut, it's exclusionary. Not maybe, it is. It always is. And over here, the ba is excluding truma, consumption of truma. Meaning that we're going to take something or something's going to be on the chopping block. What is going to be chopped off? It's going to be truma.
Chopping for what purpose?
Wouldn't bring the carbon ola v'yored if you ate truma in a state of unawareness, while being unaware of your truma.
But there's going to be a mitzvah with the shumayim.
If you do it, right, if you do it on purpose, right, amazing. Eima balamute mikdash lo sagilei b'karban ola v'yored. So the Gemara says, okay, look, I grant you that you have the word ba, and I grant you that the word ba is exclusionary, but you don't know what to exclude. It could be that the exclusion is not going on the consumption of truma. Maybe the exclusion could be going on to go walking into the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, you can make the following argument. The carbon ola v'yored is such a weak level carbon. It provides some sort of atonement, but on a very mild level. Maybe walking into the Beis HaMikdash, even though you were unaware, maybe that sin is too great that the ola v'yored can't cover it, right? Maybe. So the Gemara is now saying, look, I know there's an exclusion, but how do I know to exclude truma? Maybe I should be going the other direction. Maybe I should exclude walking into the Beis HaMikdash, because you know that's an Isser Kares, and maybe the ola v'yored won't cover it. Okay, so question, how do I know the Torah at the end of Parshas Vayikra, when saying that you become Tameh and you have to bring this carbon ola v'yored, how do I know it's talking about either A, walking to the Beis HaMikdash, or B, eating Kodesh? So as a first attempt of answer, the Gemara basically comes out inconclusive. And the Gemara is going to do this a bunch of times this morning, where the Gemara is going to try to find a source, and the result would yield an inconclusive result. Okay, next attempt. Kari Rabba Alei the Rebbe. Dole Maimi Boros Amukim. Rava, when talking about Rebbe, right, Rava and Rebbe did not live in the same generation. Rava was third generation Amora, so he, right, chances are, not chances, he didn't know Rebbe. He never knew Rebbe. But in Rava, right, the third generation. So he didn't know Rebbe, but in describing Rebbe, he said, Dole Maimi Boros Amukim. He was able to draw waters from a very deep well, right, penetrating insight. Unbelievable understanding. That's how Rabbi describes Rabbi. Ditanya, Rabbi Omer, Ekra Nichaya Behema Lama. I'm sorry, Ekra Nichaya Behema Lama. Lama Ne'emra. Okay, going back to our psukim regarding this man becoming Tamei. The Torah says, back to pasuk base. Oh Asher Yiga, Oh Nefesh Asher Siga, Bechol Davar Tamei. All benivlas chaya tameya, all benivlas behema tameya. Okay, a lot of repetitive words over here. He comes into contact with the carcass of an animal, the carcass of a behema, a domesticated animal. Oh, benivlas sheretz, the carcass of a sheretz. Right, chaya behema. It's true, they are different than one another. But once you say a chaya, you basically covered all animals, right? Behemah is a subcategory of chaya. There are differences between them. Behemah is brought as the carbon. Chaya is not brought as the carbon. There's a mitzvah of kisui adam when it comes to chaya. There's no mitzvah of kisui adam when it comes to behemah. Yes, there are differences. But the fact of the matter is, the Torah didn't have to say here in this regard, becoming tameh, behemah and chaya. Both of them were not necessary. So nemer kan behema tamei v'nemer lahama behema tamei. Sorry, sorry. Chai behema lama nemra. So why do we have the word behema? Nemra kan behema tamei v'nemer lahama behema tamei. Yeah. So it's there to create exer shava. Ma lahala now over there tumas kodesh. Av kan tumas kodesh. Over there in Parsha Sav, the Torah mentions behema. Specifically in the prohibition of eating behema while in a state of tuma. So good. So we now have the behema over there, eating behema while in a state of tuma. We have behema over here. Over here meaning that you come into contact with behema. Oh, okay, good. So now the Gzeres Shavah tells us that the prohibition over here is eating Kodesh while in a state of tuma. Ashkechan tumas Kodesh. Tumas Mikdash Minalan. Good. So now, through the Gzeres Shavah, we've established that we're talking about walking into Kodesh. I'm sorry, walking. No. Eating Kodesh. What about walking into the Beis HaMikdash? Amakra b'chol Kodesh lo sigah ve'ala Mikdash lo savo itkish Mikdash lo Kodesh. We have a Hekesh. Now this Hekesh is found in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. It's referring to the woman who just gave birth, but even though it's not the classic case of Tumah, but nevertheless, it does make an equation of eating Kodesh and walking into the Beis HaMikdash. It says regarding the woman who just gave birth, B'chol Kodesh lo sigah, ve'ela Mikdash lo savo. She can't go into the Mikdash, she can't eat Kodesh. So you see that they're connected, they're related. So good, so now I know about the relationship. So good. So now we'll go back to our Parsha of Yediyas Tumah, right? The end of Parshas Vayikra. And now I say, well, I know through the Gzeres Shavah that it means that I'm not allowed to become Tamei Ini Kodesh. And I know through the Hekesh that includes Mikdash as well. Okay. Ihachi Shuma Nami. Again, we go back to the same problem. If it's true that we're going to establish a Gzeres Shavah and we're going to use the Hekesh, but included in that should also be the consumption of Truma. And then that means that I'm going to bring my carbon olive yored if I eat Truma, if a Kohen eat Truma in a state of unawareness. Okay, so why not include Truma as well? Hamiyat Rachmana Ba. So we have a Miyut. The word Ba there is coming to be Mamait. Ema Balamut de Mikdash. Okay, again, same point that we made earlier. Maybe Ba is coming to exclude Mikdash. And as I explained it earlier, the reason why we would exclude Mikdash is because Mikdash, maybe the Avera is too strong, maybe the carbon's not going to be good enough for Mikdash. Mistabra Mikdash lo mematin and shekein bekaris kamosa. So the Gemara says, well, Mikdash is very similar to Kodesh because they're both Yisurei Kares. The Gemara says, okay, that's good. Adarabba, Truma lo mematin and shekein achila kamosa. Yeah, but Truma also has a strong similarity. Because by Kodesh, how was the Avera done? By eating. By Truma, how was the Avera done? By eating it. By Mikdash, how is the Avera done? By walking into the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a different way to violate the Isser. Okay, so again, period. And again, there is nothing conclusive over here that tells us that the Parsha of Yediyas HaTumah is speaking specifically of walking to the Beis HaMikdash and eating Kodesh while being unaware of your Tumah. Okay, so this is, I guess you would call, attempt number 3. Ella Amar Rava. Okay, so Rava has, I guess, his own drasha, right? I guess that's how it is over here. It's not quoting a Braisa. He's not, okay, it seems to be his own. Ella Amar Rava Shalosh Krisos Bishlamim. Lama. The Torah goes 3 times where it talks about you're going to get kares if you eat shlamim while in a state of tumah. Rashi over here, ba'ochlam b'tumah achas be'amor ala kohanim. So one of them is found in Parshas Emor, kol isha she'yikrav mikol zarachem ela kadashim. Right? And then he quotes the Gemara in Zvachim, v'aminim b'zvachim b'per kaviya, d'ha yikrav achilahu. So here, one time in Parshas Emor, Ushtayim Bitsav Es Aharon. And then there's going to be another 2 times in Parshat Sav. Anefesh Esher Tochal Mi Basar Zevach Shlamim, Smich Lev, Anefesh Ki Sav Gesigah B'chol Tamei, One pasuk in Parshat Zamor, two pasukim in Parshat Sav, all three of those pasukim tell us that if you eat Kodesh while Tameh, we're talking about now on purpose, deliberately, eat Kodesh while Tameh, you are subject to the punishment of Kares. Three times in the Torah, that's two times too many. Torah doesn't need to tell us three times that you're going to get Kares if you eat Kodesh. One time would be sufficient. This is not a question of Azhara and Onesh. I mean, we're talking about Kares over here. Right? There's no, you don't need an Azhara and an Onesh for Kares. Ela Amarava, Shalosh Krisus, B'Shalom Alama, Achas Leklau, Achas Leprat, V'Achat Letumah Aksuva B'Torastam, V'Eini Miyodea Mahi. One is to give us a general rule, one is to give us a specific rule, and one is to connect it to another place in the Torah where it talks about Tumah, Eini Yodea Mahi, and I don't know about that third place, Omer Havi Omer, Tumas Kodesh. So I'll say, oh, Tumas Kodesh. It must be that if you eat Kodesh while being unaware of your Tumah, now you did it on purpose, but if you eat Kodesh while you're being unaware, you're going to have to bring your carbon Olah V'Yareid, meaning we'll connect it to the end of Parshas Vayikra. Now, eating Kodesh while being unaware of your Tumah, im eino inyan l'tumas Kodesh, d'nafkalei mid'Rebbe, we have Rebbe's Gzeira Shava that we mentioned earlier, of Behema Behema, so once I have the Gzeira Shava, teneo inyan tumas mikdash, so therefore, I'm not going to apply it to Kodesh, I will therefore apply it to the sister or cousin of Kodesh, I don't know what kind of relationship you want to create, but, and that is tumas mikdash, period. Okay, before we attack this, so let me just explore this just a little bit more. Okay, so this is Rava. Rava says it's based on the three psukim, one for klal, one for prat, and one for connecting it to Parshas Vayikra, our parsha of being unaware of your tumah. Okay, klal prat. What is he talking about? What does that mean? Once for the klal, once for the prat, and once for connecting it to Tumas Mekdash. So Rashi over here writes as follows: Achas leklal. We're reading Rashi inside. Hahi de elakachin sheklal sakol v'achas minashtam leprat umida zenidreshes b'taras kohanim b'tchilas ha-sefer. Right? How did darshan psukim? Is found in the beginning of Taurus Kohanim. We just discussed this a couple days ago. Right? Where are you going to find Rabbi Shmuel's 13 rules? So you'll find it in the Siddur. Yeah, that's good. But where, right before Pesukah de Zimra. But where's the source? Where is it originally found? So it's found in the introduction to Taurus Kohanim. Taurus Kohanim is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra. Right? It also goes by the name Sifra. So if you see a book called Sifra, it's the same thing, Taurus Kohanim. It's the same book. It's the same sefer. The Daber Shabbat Bechlal, the Yatzam and Aklal Lamed, Lo Lamed Al Atzmo Yatsa, El Lamed Al Klal Kulo Yatsa. Okay, good. Ketzad. So, what does that mean? It means that if we have, if the Torah singles out something from a general rule, it's not just there for that particular rule, it's there for the whole Klal as well. Ketzad. What would be an example of that? Right, our example right now. Now, the truth of the matter is, shlamim is one carbon. There are many carbonists out there. Shlamim was but one carbon. Hayu. V'lama yatsu. Now, we know that if you eat carbon while in a state of tuma, you're going to be chayiv kares. Right? We know that based on the fact that the Torah says so. Why does the Torah single out shlamim? Yatsu lahakish aleihem. It comes in and helps us define when am I chayiv kares? When I eat kachay mizbeach, meaning it's not just that it's sacrificial; it has to be sacrificial meat going up on the mizbeach, part of it, parts of which going up on the mizbeach. What is that coming to exclude? Yatsu kachay berek habayis she'in chayavim alav mishum tuma. Kachay berek habayis. Something that was not dedicated to as a carbon, but something that just simply goes to Berek HaBayis, right? Another food, right? A non-meat food. Well, a flour can go up onto the Mizbeach. And so can wine, so can oil. Okay, so eggs. Right? And I dedicate eggs to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So that's Kodshei Bedek HaBayis. It's not Kodshei Mizbeach. And if I eat those eggs, they're Kodesh. Right? They're dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. And if I eat them in a state of Tumah, I'm not Chayev Kares. Okay? And then Rashi goes on. Next part of Rashi is very technical. Why don't we consider the Klal Uprat? Okay, we'll pause over here. So in other words, good. So now we have, right, the general rule that if I eat carbon, I am chayv, intentionally while in the state of Tum, I'm chayv kares. Specifically, if I eat shlamim while in the state of Tuma, I'm chayv kares. Why does the Torah give me the prat to tell me that this iser kares is only when I eat kachem izbeach, not kachem berek abayis? And then the third pasuk is there to tell us to relate it back to the end of Parshas Vayikra. Okay, good. This specifically is kasha kalam. In other words, if it's...
Could you just use a kalam b'chomer say that if that prohibited, then kasha definitely would be prohibited?
Correct, and that could certainly be. But kasha...
Korban Pesach has its own prohibition anyway, that you cannot eat in
Tumah. Well, instead of Tumah. But Pesach is essentially a shlamim, essentially. Right. Right. Ol and Chatas, which are both Kache Kachim, Ol and Chatas. No one eats Ola. So, right, so I don't know if this prohibition, I don't think the prohibition. And Chatas is only for the Kohanim. Okay.
But isn't there always, in a sense, a problem of the Yoreh if a person is very poor?
No, if he. The Torah, by no other Avera, does the Torah give the person an option of being able to select, not by any other place, but by generally, by Isuri Kares, we don't have this. We don't have this idea that, well, the person can't afford it, so therefore he has to pay less for a carbon. It's only by the carbon olaviyareid. It's true also by the mitzara, the woman who gave birth also. She also has a choice if she can't afford, but by a classic Isur Kares, it's a chatas and that's it. And basically, you're going to have to save up for the carbon chatas if you can't afford it. The Haimi Baile, back to the Gemara now. The Gemara is going to challenge this approach as well. We're in the third approach of this morning. We're in the Rav approach. It's based on three psukim. Three times the Torah tells us the Chai Vikrisus when it comes to eating carbon while in a state of Tumah. The Haimi Baile, the Chad Rabbi Abba, Dam Rabbi Abba, Shalash Krisus, Bishlamim, Lama. Achas a klav, achas a prat, but achal dvarim she'inu ne'echalim. One's for the klav, one's for the prat, and one is for dvarim she'inu ne'echalim, things which are not eaten. Right? Rashi says that etzim of the maracha, levona, ketores, now those are non-edibles. Funny, ketores is a spice. But it's not edible though. By itself you can't eat it. And Lavona, also a spice. The trees for the wood for the maracha, that you can't eat as well. Now it's funny, the previous Rashi told us that if I eat koche bedek habayis, I'm not going to be chayv kares. Over here, if I eat wood, I am going to be chayv kares. It's a little strange, admittedly, but it goes on the mizbeach. The wood goes on the mizbeach. The Lavona and Gitaris goes on the Mizbeach. So I grant you that it's strange. It's definitely a little bit weird.
Yeah. Huh? The
Gitaris goes on the inner Mizbeach.
Yeah.
Okay, but still, it's a Mizbeach. Okay? So it goes on the Mizbeach. So, yes, it's strange. What comes out from all this is that by eating Kachi Bedek HaBayis, I don't get Kares. And by eating non-edible foods that go up on the Mizbech, I do get Kares. That's granted, that's a little bit strange, but okay, that's where the Pesukim take us. Echel aprav, echel advan shein anachal, Rabbi Shimon damar advan shein anachal, ein chayev amalem Kares mishum toma. Now, Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and when we get to Zvachim, we're going to be discussing this in more detail. But Rabbi Shimon disagrees. So according to Rabbi Shimon, what's that third pasuk coming to teach us? If a person eats chatas hapnimis, chatas that's brought into the inner into the inner sanctuary. Hold on, Rabbi Shimon called Shaina Krav on Mizbech Chitzon Keshlamim, Ein Chayav on Mishim Pigol. So Rabbi Shimon does state as a rule that if it's not subject to, if it's not brought on the Mizbech outside, it's not subject to Pigol, the Isser Pigol. So I might have therefore thought, by logical extension, it's not subject to the Isser of Tumah as well. Mishum Tumah Namilo, Kamash Malan de Mechayev. So that's why Rabbi Shimon needs a special pasuk over here to tell me that you would be Chayev even for the Panimi, even for the Chatzos of Panimi. Okay. A little complex, but the basic point is that those three psukim that Rava wanted to use, that third pasuk that Rava wanted to use to teach us that the end of Parshas Vayikra, it's talking about Yediyas HaTumah, specifically walking into the Beis HaMikdash while Tameh, while being unaware of your Tumah, that we already need that third Pasuk. Okay? So the third attempt also did not work as well. We are now up to the fourth attempt of this morning in terms of how we know that this Parsha is talking specifically about eating Kodesh and walking to the Beis HaMikdash while being unaware of your Tumah. Ela Amri Nahardai, Mishmei Derava. Shalosh tumas b'shlamim lama. Three tumas mentioned by shlamim. Now, it sounds repetitive. Sounds like we were just here, right? Earlier, it was shalosh krisos b'shlamim. Three times the Torah mentions the punishment of kares. Here, we're talking about just a simple fact that you're tamei and you ate shlamim. It's the same three psukim. It just happens to be that we're not focusing on the punishment. We're focusing on the action, on what you did. Okay, so it's the same approach, but instead of kares, we're focusing on the action, that you ate tumah. I'm sorry, you ate carbon while in the state of tumah. The imeno ayin l'tumas kodesh nafkalei mederebi. Now, as far as eating kodesh is concerned, we have a gzera shava, behema behema. So we don't need to learn that if you eat kodesh, you're going to receive. You have to bring while being unaware. You have to bring your carbon all over the yareid. Teneu inyan l'tumas mikdash. Okay. So therefore, we're going to use it for mikdash. V'hainami me baile. So the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't you already tell me that we needed the pasuk? I did the baile mikdash kares lechad Rabbi Abahu kasav nami tameh to lo sagile b'lav hachi. The Gemara says, look. You can't darshan from those psukim because I need the Torah to tell me what we're talking about. Meaning, as we already discussed, we need the word kares to be said three times. Why do we need it three times? One for klal, one for prat, and the third one for whatever we needed it for. The fact that the Torah repeated the word tumah three times, you can't learn something from that. The Torah has to tell me that we're talking about tumah. Otherwise, I don't know what we're talking about. So you can't darshan from something where the Torah absolutely needs to write that. Okay? El Amarava, fifth attempt this morning. I think this is the final one. Okay? El Amarava, Asya Tumasu Tumaso. We're going to learn it out based on a Gzer Shava. Sivachi, Lechu Tumaso, Ksiv Hasam, Tameyiya, Od Tumaso Bo. Ma lahalan parshas chukas. Ma lahalan tumas mikdash, afkan tumas mikdash. Okay. Fine. So it is based on a gzereshava, right? And the obvious questions, if Rava had the gzereshava here the whole time, why did he make other searches and attempts to learn it out through other psukim? Okay, the Gemara sometimes is very process-oriented, meaning, yeah, there is a gzereshava, Rava did have this gzereshava, but maybe by way of just demonstrating why I can't use the other psukim, what's wrong with using these other psukim, and we generated other halachas that we learned this morning. Okay, sometimes the Gemara is more about process than it is about results, and right, we are Western thinkers, we don't, you know, if you knew the Gzera Shava, just say it in the beginning, why go through all this? That's just simply sometimes the process of the Gemara. The Gemara goes through different avenues. Okay. Even though it knows that those avenues are dead-end avenues. The Elaba Lamali. Okay, good. So now, okay, when all is said and done, towards the question that we started off the morning, how do I know the Torah by the carbon olah v'yareid is talking specifically about eating Kodesh or walking to the Beis HaMikdash while being unaware of your Tumah? The Torah doesn't say eating Kodesh. The Torah doesn't say going into the Beit HaMikdash. And the answer is Gzera Shava. Gzera Shava for Mikdash, Gzera Shava for Kodesh. The Gzera Shava for Kodesh is based on Behema Behema, and the Gzera Shava for Kodesh is based on the words Tumah, right? Lechol Tumaso and Tumah Yihyeh, based on Parshas Chukas. Okay, so the answer is Gzera Shava. Ah, so now that we have Gzera Shavas, Ela Ba Lamali. So what is Ba coming to do? Now, previously, when we weren't using Gzera Shava, so we wanted to exclude certain things, but now, what are we excluding? There's nothing to exclude. It's all based on Gzera Shava. So you have your links, and that's it. And so Ba is no longer necessary. Ela Ba Lamali La Rabos Nivlas Oftar. It's coming to include Nivlas Oftahar. Now the Gemara says you're confusing me. Hamad ba miutahi. First of all, up until now we assume ba is a miut. In fact, ba is always a miut. So this is extraordinarily confusing. So the Gemara says mishum de miutahu iyaser. The Gemara says yeah, exactly. It's exclusionary and therefore it includes. That makes sense. Not yet. Okay, just give the Gemara just two more lines. Ksiv oki yigad davar negia in dela bar negia lo. It says okiyiga, or you touch, right? So that means that it can only be tumah that comes about through contact. Tumah that comes about not through contact, no. The ksiv ba, and then it says the words ba, miyuta hi. So that's another exclusion. We've seen this many times. An exclusion followed by an exclusion, mirachamir, and mirachamir, ela larabos, and exclusion after exclusion only comes to include. Okay? What are we including over here? Nivlas of tahor. Okay? In the world of tumah tahara, there's one strange tumah, one strange way of contracting tumah, and that's through the carcass of a kosher bird. Okay? Carcass of an animal, how do you contract tumah? Touch it. That's all. When it comes to a sheretz, how do I contract tumah? Touch it. When it comes to nivlas of tahor, the carcass of a dead kosher bird, it means that the kosher bird did not receive a shechita. Right? It didn't receive a proper shechita, and so therefore it died without shechita. In addition to the fact that you can't eat it, in addition to that, it also now gives off tumah. But for the bird, for the carcass of a kosher bird, it's a strange way of contracting tumah. And that is eating it, consuming it. Now you'll say to me, but you're not allowed to eat it, and I'll just simply nod my head and say, you're right. You're not allowed to eat it, it's not kosher. But if you do, right, for either on purpose or not on purpose, it doesn't matter, if you do, you're going to contract tumah, nivas of tahar. You could touch the bird all day, and you will not become tamei. If you swallow a kazayis of the bird, you do become tamei. Okay, is that strange? Yeah, it's strange because that's not what the normal way of contracting tumah from a carcass. So now the Gemara is explaining to me, what do I learn from the word ba? Ba is an inclusion. The fact that it was a compounded exclusion, a double exclusion, so it means that it's an inclusion and it's coming to include that if I become tamei not through touching behema, but by consuming the carcass of a kosher bird. So I didn't touch. I became tamei through swallowing. So now, you might have thought that if you walk into the Beis HaMikdash while being unaware of that tumah, you're not going to be chayav the carbon olah v'yored. The word ba now is inclusion. It includes that case as well. Okay, good. All right, good. All right, so all said and done. Okay, wrap up this entire sugya. How do I know that the Torah tells me when bringing the carbon olah v'yored that the prohibition is that which I did was either eat kodesh or walk into the Beis HaMikdash while in a state of tumah, while being unaware of my tumah? How do I know that? The Torah is very unclear. The Torah just talks about being tameh. The Torah doesn't talk about what you did while being tameh. And the answer is Gzera Shava. Gzera Shava for kodesh, behema behema. Gzera Shava for mikdash, tumah, based on the word tumah here and the word tumah in Parshas Chukas. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, we quote the next part of the Mishnah. Yesh by yediyah betchila ve'ein by yediyah betsof, sira nas lebifnim. You had a yediyah in the beginning. You did not have a yediyah at the end. So for that, our goat on Yom Kippur is going to handle that. Okay? Tanu Rabbanan v'chiper lakorish mitumos b'nei Yisrael. In Parshas Achrimos, in discussing the Seir, the Torah describes it's going to be a kapar, it serves as an atonement. Al HaKodesh mitumos b'nei Yisrael. It's going to serve as an atonement for impurities. Impurities of the Jewish people. We're going to just start this morning, and tomorrow we will trek along on this next discussion. Yeshli b'inyan zeh lahavi. Now, I might have thought, the Torah just simply says very generically, Tumah. This Seir on Yom Kippur will handle Tumah. Lots of things in the Torah are called Tumah. Lahavi shalosh Tumas, Tumas avodah zarah.
Two goats.
But specifically now about the goat, that's the inner goat, the goat that's brought into the Kodesh. Tumas avodah zarah, Tumas gilui arayis, Tumas shvichas damim. Ba'avodah zarah hu amar laman tameis mikdashi. Begilu arayis hu amar ushmartim es mishmarti levilti asos michukos atoi avos. Velo titamu bahem. Bishvichos damim hu amar velo titameis haaretz. We see that the big three, avodah zarah, shvichos damim, gilu arayos, all have in them, in the parsha, the word Tumah. So I might have thought that the Seir of Yom Kippur will be able to handle those types of Tumas. Now tomorrow the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. What? What does that mean? He intentionally killed? We know what the punishment is. What are we talking about? And he didn't intentionally do it? He gets go- so the Gemara tomorrow will discuss what do we... What is it, even in the Havim, you know, what's the Gemara entertaining? Yachol al-gimel tumas halalu yeh-sir mechaper, tamar lomar mitumas b'nei Yisrael, v'lo kol tumas, some of the tumah, not all of the tumah. Ma matzina shechala kakasu mechla kol tumas, havi omer, tumas mikdash v'kadasha. What is, which tumas are exceptional? Which tumas is like, it's in its own category? The answer is, being tameh and going into the base of Mikdash. Being tameh and eating Kodesh. Why are they exceptional? Because there's a special carbon called carbon Ola V'Yored that are brought for these Yisurim. Avkan b'tumas Mikdash v'kadashav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Okay? So that's how he knows that the Seir is addressing specifically the Tumah of Kodesh v'kadashav. Rabbi Shimon Amar mim kamahu mochra. Rabbi Shimon agrees with the conclusion, but now with how to get there. Harehu omer v'chiper ala kodesh mitum os. The Torah says straight out, it's mechaper on the kodesh mitum os. Mitum shel kodesh. Yachol al kol tumah shel kodesh, yeh seir zeh mechaper. Tamar lomar u'mipisheyam l'chol chatasam. Chataim dum yed pshaim. Ma pshaim she'enam b'nei karban, af chatim she'enam b'nei karban. Okay? Sins that are not... that you don't bring a carbon. Which sins are that? Specifically the sin of Kodesh, Tumas Kodesh v'Mikdash, but you didn't have a yediyah in the beginning and at the end. Okay. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Tomorrow we'll be focusing on the what exactly the Seir on Yom Kippur's Mechaper. What does it exactly provide atonement for? Abichanani,